word to word meaning, kim, what, brahaspateha, the disciple of Brahaspati, iha, here, paratra, in different planets, va, or, atah, as such, kaivalyanatha, the bestower of liberation, priya, dear, parshvratinaha, being associated with, asadhya, after meeting, devam, the great demigod, girisham, the lord of Kailash hill, yadrichaya, by providence, prapuhu, achieved, param, the supreme, noonam, certainly, athah, therefore, prachetasah, the son of Brahisat. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki cha. Translation. My dear Brahaspatya, what did the sons of King Bharishat, known as the Prachetas, obtain after meeting Lord Shiva, who is very dear to Supreme Personality of Godhead, the bestower of liberation? Certainly, they were transferred to the spiritual world, but apart from that, what did they obtain within this material world, either in this life or in other lives? Purport. All types of material happiness are obtained in this life or in the next life, on this planet or another. The living entity wanders within this material universe in so many species of life and so many planetary systems. The distress and happiness obtained during the span of life are called iha, and the distress and happiness obtained in the next life are called paratra. Actually, Lord Mahadev Shiva is one of the great demigods within this material world. Generally, his blessings bestow on ordinary people mean material happiness. The predominating deity of this material world, Durga, is under control of Lord Mahadev, Girish. Thus, Lord Mahadev can offer anyone any kind of material happiness. Generally, people prefer to become devotees of Lord Girish to obtain material happiness. But the Prachetas met Lord Mahadev by providential arrangement. Lord Mahadev instructed them to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he personally offered a prayer. As stated in the previous verse, Rudra Gitam, simply by chanting the prayers offered by Lord Shiva to Vishnu, the Prachetas were transferred to the spiritual world. Sometimes devotees desire to enjoy material happiness also. Therefore, by the arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the devotee is given a chance to enjoy the material world before his final entrance into the spiritual world. Sometime a devotee is transferred to a heavenly planet, to Janaloka, Maharloka, Tapaloka, Siddhaloka, and so on. However, a pure devotee never aspires for any kind of material happiness. The pure devotee is consequently transferred directly to Vaikuntha Loka, which is described here as Parama. In this verse, Vidura asked Maitreya, the disciple of Brahaspati, about the different achievements of the Prachetas. Amajnana timirandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshurun militam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamaram Shri Gurum Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrijatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha Namaum Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పార్శ్వాత దేశ తారిణి నమః మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామినే గౌరతిషే నమః. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధు దీనబంధు జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ లాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి ఋషభాను సుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియ వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ రామ రామ. హరే కృష్ణ. సో ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ఐఎమ్ ఫీలింగ్ వెరీ మచ్ ఎంబారెస్డ్ సిట్టింగ్ హియర్. యాక్చువల్లీ ఐ షుడ్ బి సిట్టింగ్ దేర్ బట్ అసీమ్ కృష్ణ ప్రభు వాజ్ లిటరలీ పుషింగ్ మీ. ఐ క్యాన్ సే దాట్ యు నో ఐ షుడ్ గివ్ భాగవతం. సో దిస్ ఈజ్ వెరీ గ్రేట్ ఎంబారెస్మెంట్ ఫర్ మీ. సో ఐ విల్ బి ఏబుల్ టు స్పీక్ వాట్ ఎవర్ ఐ హర్డ్ ఫ్రమ్ మై సుపీరియర్స్ ఓన్లీ ఇఫ్ ఐ హ్యావ్ ద బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ సుపీరియర్స్. సో స్పెసిఫికలీ వుడ్ లైక్ టు సీక్ బ్లెస్సింగ్స్ ఆఫ్ భక్తరూప్ ప్రభు, దెన్ బ్రజహరి ప్రభు, భక్తి వినోద్ ప్రభు, అసీమ్ కృష్ణ ప్రభు, రాధేశ్యామ్ ప్రభు అండ్ ఆల్ ద డివోటీస్, సో దాట్ ఐ కెన్ స్పీక్ సమ్ వర్డ్స్ ఫర్ మై ఓన్ ప్యూరిఫికేషన్ అండ్ ఎస్ అ సర్వీస్ టు ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ. Here, this wonderful chapter, the activities of prachetas, as we see previously, the way prachetas perform their devotional service and subsequently by their devotional service which they perform in association that pleased Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu also. And yesterday, His Grace Radhishampur was very beautifully narrating that how it was actually their cooperation which really pleased the Lord, and then He bestowed all the mercy. So this next shloka which today we are reading, this also discusses the benefits of that aspect or the cooperation by which they were pleased. So here the translation goes, my dear Brahaspati, what did the sons of King Bharishad known as Prachetas obtain after meeting Lord Shiva, who is very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the bestower of liberation? Certainly they were transferred to the spiritual world. But apart from that, what did they obtain within this material world, either in this life or in other lives? So here, one thing is very clearly told. Certainly they have achieved the spiritual world by their practice in cooperation, the devotional service. But this question is asked that what did they achieve in this world? So generally, for normal person, spiritual world, spiritual life, spiritual benefits, it's very difficult for them to comprehend what it is. And they cannot so much relate with it. We see even when we go to the newcomers and we tell them about chanting of Hare Krishna, we say that chant Hare Krishna, you love of God. So he says, oh, that is, aur kya milega? No, what I'll get more? So we say, we'll become very dear to Krishna. So, or kya? What benefit is there more? Like that they say. And we say, you will go back to spiritual world. So still they are not satisfied. They want to know that what else they are going to get. And even when we take the seminars or discuss about mind control or different things, so we say, what is your feedback? They say, we felt very peaceful. You know? And really this point we liked, that by chanting our mind will be controlled. So they are more attracted, general people, they are more attracted towards the material benefits, even of spiritual life, like that. And once they know that some form of material benefits they get, then what happens, they take to spirituality very seriously. Okay, you know, that anyway I'm going to get it, but this is what is important, like that. So here, even this question can be seen in that aspect, because spiritual life is very vital, so Bhagavatam is addressing to everyone. So when the material benefits also are there in practicing devotional service, one comes to know, then certainly, you know, one becomes more enthusiastic Of course, it's not for the devotees who are advanced in spiritual life, because the second part of purport, which very clearly mentions that the material benefits are considered even as a hindrance, a devotee doesn't want. May come, may not come, but he's indifferent to them like that. But on the beginning, for a normal person, this is required to just get connected to Krishna consciousness. So, I am focusing on specifically this theme because the translation it focuses, and then bit of purport also it focuses on that how the cooperation not only pleases the Lord, brings the spiritual benefit to us, and he pleased not only the Lord but the devotee of the Lord, Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva personally came, he benedicted them. But also he pleased, not only spiritually they pleased and got the blessings, but also they got some material benefits. So that's a principle of cooperation. In fact, it's a spiritual principle, and Lord, he has arranged this material world. In fact, if you see Bhagavad Gita also, Bhagavad Gita in that third chapter, Krishna explains how this is running along the theme of Bhagavad Gita. There Krishna is telling that a living entity he wants to enjoy separate from the Lord, and therefore Lord sends him to the material world. And here, when he wants to enjoy that program to happen anyway, because it's not that it should be curtailed, so for that to go on, but yet Lord is very eager to bring the living entity back to spiritual world. So he makes an arrangement by that a living entity who wants to enjoy can also enjoy, and while enjoying he becomes purified and goes back to spiritual world. And for that this third chapter of Bhagavad Gita in this section comes, 3.10 to 16. So there Krishna is mentioning that he sends demigods and living entities. So the whole system is of interdependence, and the living entities, because they want some material benefits, they have to worship demigods. And when they worship demigods, they want some name, fame, some followers. So they get what they want, and living entity, he wants some material benefits from them. So, they becoming pleased, they offer some material prosperity. And this way, the whole cycle, evam pravartitam chakram, this whole cycle goes on that way. So, both becoming satisfied. So, by mutual cooperation, what happens? Jai Shri Radha Ras Bihari ki jai, Ram Lakshman Sita Hanuman ki jai, Nitai Gaur Chanda Bhagwan ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki. So, by the mutual cooperation, both get benefited. And not only both get materially benefited, but they progress towards spiritual path. So this is how even on material platform one gets the benefit by practicing this element of cooperation. In fact, we can say this is so very important principle that though it provides, we can say, the material benefits, just by cooperation or just by cooperating, we please the superiors, this principle. And we get their blessings. It's very easy to get their blessings by cooperation. Because if that is not there, then what happens? They, or the superior, we can say, it becomes a big anxiety for him, how to, you know, manage the whole thing. Just like Prabhupada said, if you want to love me, you cooperate. So what happens? Then Prabhupada, when he is doing his service to Krishna or his spiritual master, when there is a beautiful cooperation amongst each other, Prabhupada doesn't have to get involved so much into the, what we can say, managerial aspect of the things, because things will move very nicely then and better results will come. But if it doesn't happen, then Prabhupada has to get involved. Like a father is there. Father, if he sees their different sons are there and they are very nicely cooperating with each other, then what happens? He doesn't have to put his head, you know, into the family affairs. He can just run his business or his job, and then, you know, he can shower his love whenever he comes to the home. He doesn't have to take any anxiety, because all the sons, they cooperatively are taking anxiety for the home that way. But as soon as some problem is there, the younger brother is taking something from the elder brother, or the elder brother is not giving something to younger brother, or something happens, and then immediately father has to call both of them, sit with them, sort out the matter and discuss the thing. So much time is going in that, you know, which is not in a way, a very, very higher thing which has to be done. But the father has to be involved and to do this thing. And actually it pains him. He feels that, you know, I have to spend time in this thing, that way. But when he sees that they are very nicely cooperating with each other, father sees that now they are growing, they are becoming more and more mature. Now I can hand them all the things and then I can do so many other things that way. So that is the thing. So same in this context only, this fourth canto, this the section comes when Maharaj Prithu, when he was performing these sacrifices. So it's a universal, when we talk about the home, now shifting from home to the universal home, where this arrangement is, now he's the administrator of the whole world, King Prithu. And he's performing Ashwamedha Yajna for the benefit of the whole world, so that there will be prosperity all over the world. Now he's performing, and then now Indra is there, who's also one of the administrator of the universe. And he finds little difficult, and then he doesn't want to, you know, allow him to do, because he feels my position will be threatened. And then he creates trouble again and again and again. When this happens, we see that personally Brahma, who is the, we can say, manager or engineer of the whole universe, he has to personally come to sort out the matter and discuss and spend time with here Prithu. And he tells that, my dear Prithu, I am speaking to you, that please, instead of performing all hundreds, you know, Ashwamedha Yajna, just be satisfied with 99, like that. So he has to personally get involved in that sense. And then Prithu, immediately he agrees, because his purpose was not for his name fame, but for the welfare of the people only. So immediately he agrees. And then Lord, the Brahma, he becomes very pleased. And just because he didn't perform the 99th sacrifice, the 100th sacrifice, he gets the benefit. So two benefits he gets. One benefit is, this is because of the blessings of Krishna and blessings of Brahma and all others. So first blessing he gets is, he gets, of course, Prithu is himself a Shattavesh avatar, but he gets the pure devotion. And second thing he gets is, he is told, you still will get the benefit of your 100 sacrifices. So the material benefit is also achieved. Not only that, now after so many years, we still hear about King Prithu's sacrifice. So he even gets name fame, which is aspired materially by so many people. Why there are problems, you know, in cooperation? Because the most important aspect is this only, that one wants to climb the rung, top of the ladder, and he wants to be glorified, he wants to be appreciated, he wants to be the center. But then what happens? Opposite happens. Instead of that, people look down upon him. But rather, by taking a lower stand, which appears materially, that actually he is losing something. But his glories are sung all throughout now, in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And we are still taking so many lessons from that. So even materially person gains by the aspect of cooperation that way. So therefore, even we see, as we talk about universal arrangement, or we talk about the family, and even if we talk about our own body, which itself like a universe or a family, there is a cooperation which really helps us to practice our spiritual life. That way we see all the parts, hands, legs, stomach, head, everything. If it very nicely works, then same two things are there. You know, if suppose stomach problem is there, one is, or there is a headache, then all bodily or whole attention goes to that part of the body. Suppose leg is limping, a severe pain is there, and everything, you know, it's very difficult to focus on chanting or reading or anything, you know, because whole attention goes there only. Again and again attention goes. Or there is some wound, when we are walking, we are very careful that it should not, you know, again get touched by anything. Forget about becoming Krishna conscious or thinking of Krishna. It's like person becomes a wound conscious, that it should not pain like that, and becomes very difficult for him. Therefore Kulashekar says that Krishna Twadiya Pada Pankaja Panjarandam Advaiva Me Vishatu Manasa Raja Hamsa Prane Prayana Samaye Kafabata Pitta Kanthavarodhana Vidhau Smaranam Kutaste. So he's telling, my dear Lord, now because I am in a good state of my health, So I am able to remember your lotus feet. Kindly, my dear Lord, take me away now only. But especially in the old age will occur or will come, then kapha vata pitta, whole body will be filled with kapha vata pitta. It's very difficult. The whole kantha or the mucus is filled in the throat, and I will not be able to take the name of the Lord. Instead of that, I will become bodily conscious. So when body is not cooperating properly, then it becomes very difficult to become Krishna conscious. Therefore, even Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that first comes health, then comes our sadhana, then comes preaching, like that. So one has to take care of his health. So for that, all the bodily parts should cooperate with each other. When they cooperate, one certainly gets spiritual benefit, because he doesn't have to take anxiety of the body. He just has to focus on spiritual life. And healthy body, naturally one is happy, because the body is healthy, then one will be happy that way. So that's a point which, even that aspect, I mean to say that how it brings so much material benefits, and actually big spiritual things can be accomplished when we want to do something big. Then certainly there are examples from Chaitanya Charitamrita where this principle has really become a beacon light for all the devotees, and because of which we are learning so many lessons. As we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came here and he wanted to propagate the mission of Krishna consciousness, and so many things he wanted to do. So naturally, he being Supreme Personality of Godhead, he can do himself, but then he wanted to do through his devotees. So here we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the four very prominent principles, we can say, principles he wanted to establish, and he chose different devotees as an example for that. Like Sanatana Goswami is there. He is an example of, a epitome of humility, when he wanted that a devotee has to be humble. So this principle he bought out from the life of Sanatana Goswami. And when he wanted to teach about tolerance, he bought out that principle from Haridas Thakur. When he wanted to teach about sense control, that was through Ramananda Rai. And simplicity or straightforwardness from Damodar Pandit. Now these are very important qualities, and different devotees, they exhibited these qualities. Means they exhibited to the highest degree, in fact. And we can learn a lot of lessons from that. But we never find, that when Sanatana Goswami, he came to Jagannath Puri to take darshan of the lordships, and Lord Jagannath and meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, both of them, he and Haridas Thakur, were staying with each other. So it's not, that Sanatana Goswami ever felt that, if at all, I would have been given this service of becoming a Namacharya, I would have become such a tolerant person. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is not favoring me? Haridas Thakur is given that title. He didn't feel like that. In fact, he was glorifying Haridas Thakur for this quality, like that. So there, everyone has a role. Krishna assigns a role. And they both beautifully were sitting together and discussing Krishna Katha, like that. And they were appreciating each other and then just glorifying each other that way. So this made the atmosphere, whole atmosphere, very beautiful, like that. And it pleased the Lord. And just wonderful glories came out that way. And same, we still remember, when Chaitanya Charitamrita talks about when Jagannath Rath Yatra is there, how beautifully Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced in front of the cart. And not only that, the kirtan was tumultuous. For that he made 7 sankirtan parties, all different. And in each sankirtan party there was a lead dancer. Like in one, there was Shivas Thakur, Vakreshwar Pandit, Haridas Thakur, Nityanand Prabhu. Like this, these were different lead dancers in each of the party. And there were lead singers. And there were others who were assisting them. So they didn't feel why we are not given that opportunity. They were very happy in that position, and they were assisting whoever was the leader there. And because of that, it was such a roarious kirtan and wonderful kirtan was going on. And it was pleasing to the Lord, pleasing to the devotees. This same thing which follows afterwards also, that when we see in the, especially in the third generation, Narottam Das Thakur, when all three of them, Narottam Das Thakur, Shyamanand Pandit and Srinivas Acharya, Three of them, they stayed together in the under the shelter of Jiva Goswami, and later they went to their respective places to continue their preaching work. And in that way, Narottam Das Thakur went to Khetori, and there he was preaching. And he had that very burning desire that we all would like to celebrate Lord Chaitanya's appearance, his Gaur Purnima festival. And it was another reason that Bhakti Ratnakar tells that as after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, all the associates were feeling, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu associates were feeling great separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because of that itself, the aging process became very fast. And they were aging. And slowly, one after another, they were disappearing from the world. And Narottam Das Thakur was very strongly feeling that if at all we bring all these Vaishnavas who are still on the planet, hear from them Lord Chaitanya's glories and pastime, take their blessings, witness them, serve them, it will be such a wonderful occasion. It will be such a feast for the heart. So he wanted that all the Vaishnavas of Orissa and Bengal, all of them who are associate of Lord Chaitanya, come together. But there some occasion is required. And Narottam Das was feeling that this is the best opportunity where on the occasion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Gaur Purnima festival, we'll invite everyone. But it was not a joke, because these all associates are great devotees of the Lord. And if they have to be invited, previously it was not like, you know, we give a flight ticket and then one boards the flight and comes like that. So it's not that way. Or we hire a company who takes care of the people and escorts them. We see at the airport, you know, they put a board from this hotel, Mr. This, and then there are taxis waiting, then he's taken and he's taken directly. And then it was not like that. So it means individually going to every Vaishnava, then him making arrangement for his journey, carrying him in palanquin or all different ways, whatever, then making arrangement for him. Previously, it's not that there were big hotels, you know, already we can make arrangement, 5-star hotels and everything, no. Then generally the life was quite simple. The different residential place has to be erected, the arrangement has to be made, and they were elderly Vaishnavas, so naturally they have to be personally cared. You see, even as devotees grow a little senior, then they have their preferences in terms of eating also. You know, somebody cannot take this, he has this problem, that problem, then we have to make some special arrangement for them. So these are very elderly Vaishnavas, and then the arrangement has to be made. So everyone should feel a personal care, personal attention. That is a sign of respect. That has to be arranged. It means it was a very great work. It was not an easy task. And Narottam Das Thakur himself, he was feeling quite incapable alone to do this. And therefore he requested Srinivas Acharya that kindly, if I can get the assistance of Ramchandra Kaviraj, then certainly it will be far more easy for me to accomplish this task. And Ramchandra Kaviraj was such a powerful preacher, and he used to preach powerfully and converted so many, literally. And he was very dedicated disciple of Srinivas Acharya. But just by the request of Narottam Das Thakur, he felt such a big task is there, certainly I should cooperate. And very happily he agreed to give Ramchandra Kaviraj. And he said, you and Narottam Das Thakur, both of you preach in Bangladesh. And we see Ramchandra Kaviraj, he came with Narottam Das Thakur. And by their mutual, you know, cooperation, such a wonderful festival was there. All Vaishnavas are called from all over the, it's Orissa and Bengal, all of them came, and wonderful arrangements were made, and tumultuous kirtan was there. And in that kirtan, Narottam Das Thakur, when he was leading the kirtan, at the peak of the kirtan, because all the Vaishnavas came, they were served, they were so happy by the service, such a wonderful festival was done. And at the peak of the kirtan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu along with the whole Panchatattva appeared, and they started dancing, and everyone was just filled with ecstasy to see this sight. They were so happy. So Lord himself became very pleased. So it was a big task, and for that certainly that help was needed. And same thing was conceived by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling Prithviyate yach nagaradi gram sarvatra prachar hoibe mora naam, that if this Krishna consciousness has to be preached all over the world, then certainly it's not one man's task. Therefore he was telling that immediately form a GBC. Then all devotees, they come together, they make some plans and ideas, and they go all over the world and they preach. And as an organization, it will spread very nicely that way. So he conceived the idea of GBC that way. And Prabhupada, he very strictly followed that, and then he formed the GBC. And then we see how Krishna consciousness is spreading because of that. So whenever we want to do something big for Krishna, certainly we need that aspect. Otherwise it becomes very, very difficult that way. So I heard one nice quotation by His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj. He was telling that there is no limit to what a team can achieve if it doesn't matter who gets the credit. So I'll repeat this. There is no limit to what a team can achieve if it doesn't matter who gets the credit. So it's a very, very powerful, you know, statement that certainly if nobody wants that credit should come to them but to a team, then there will be a wonderful unity amongst all of them, and then wonderful things will be accomplished like that. Here Prachetas, they get the material benefits also. They will be ruling the world like that, and then ahead, next few verses, those things will be coming like that. So they get the benefits, at the same time they are pleasing. And further, another statement I heard was, there is no limit a team can achieve unlimited if Krishna gets the credit. So first statement is telling, doesn't matter who gets the credit. And the second statement says, there is no limit to what a team can achieve if Krishna gets the credit. So if the center is Krishna, or center is, you know, Prabhupada and the mission, and everyone is focusing that, you know, I may not be the focus, but the mission should be in the focus. So if for the mission to go ahead, if I have to step one step behind, it's worth it. Why? Because the mission will be glorified. Or if I have to take a lead, then I will do in the mode of service, because the mission is ultimately, it's for mission. It's for not me, like that. So this is the principle. But the mind, you know, it's such a tricky, it always operates in, like mathematics, we have directly proportional, you know, X is directly proportional to Y, like that we say. But mind always thinks in inversely proportional way, like that. Whatever ideas mind gives are always inversely proportional, means the reality is something different. So mind says, if you want to follow this principle, then we will be the loser. You know, I have to step back, I have to do this, I have to sacrifice, others may exploit me, others may, you know, boss around me, then what will happen? You know, I will be the loser. Who will really see me? Who will appreciate me? Who will understand that I am doing at all anything like that? So mind proposes all sorts of these ideas, and one gets into some insecurity zone or inferiority, you know, insecurity rather, that, you know, no, actually so much I am putting, at least somebody should know, somebody should recognize these things. And because of this insecurity, one wants to, doesn't practice this principle like that. But this is inversely proportional idea. And because of that, you know, for a short term, some name fame, there is clicks. And that becomes a long-term loss. So there may be a small thing, you know, to do this thing this way or that way. And two people are there, and he says, no, do this way. Someone, no, do that way. Do this way, do that way. And then there is some argument. The thing may be very petty or small, and then afterwards it happens or it doesn't happen. But after the event has occurred and passed, still what remains is the impressions within the heart, that this devotee behaved with me like this. The event has gone, you know. Everything is temporary in this world. But then the impressions remain long lasting. And then second time when the devotees come together, those impressions also come ahead. And then all those impressions and on those perceptions, now the dealings takes place. And again, certainly, first time it occurred, second time it will again occur. You know, and it becomes all the more difficult second time to then deal with it. And then again, the same story appears. So, for a short-term gain, when devotees go away with deep negative impressions against each other, then actually in long term there is a loss, because one loses that relationship and then it becomes difficult for him to work anymore together. It becomes very difficult like that, because those impressions again they come and they haunt them, and then because of those impressions the perceptions are formed, and when the perceptions are formed, then you know, to put trust becomes very difficult like that. And if there is no trust, then nothing moves that way. So even materially, whatever thing has to be, what we can say, you know, successful, it doesn't happen that. But on contrary, if two people come together, you know, and there is some, say, argument over how it should be done, and one person takes a humble role, says, okay, Prabhu, you know, as you are telling, we'll do this way, and I'm with you. So the person whose opinion was taken, certainly within his heart, Paramatma is there, and there is a sincerity in his heart also. He gets this message. What? That this person, he is superior. He stepped back. And still is very enthusiastically helping me or assisting me. So, though externally others may respect the person who did it, but he respects the person who stepped back for him. Like that. And if it happens 2-3 times, then, you know, this person, he, first thing is, he develops the deep trust in the integrity of that person, that this person is such a real humble. He's focusing on his mission. He's not focusing on, you know, personal name, fame and all these things. His focus is mission. So he develops a deep respect for that person. And that helps him to transform himself also. That is, this person is doing such wonderful thing, that why don't I do in my life like that? So this helps him in his own spiritual life. Not only that, sometimes it may happen that again they may come together, and this time this person says, oh, this person really, so many times he sacrificed for me, you know, and now he's making this request, I will support him fully, like that. So, long term, everyone gains. That is what, you know, the principle is. So, relationship is not a short-term thing. Even in devotional service is not a short-term thing. Because one incident after another incident, one situation after another situation, these things keep building, because situations keep happening, come and go. But the point is, what remains are the impressions of how other person dealt with me. So your prachetas, they were such, you know, it's a challenge doing devotion service together. It just, Bhagavatam just talks about it, that, you know, they went underwater and all of them were just, you know, immersing in devotional service. So first of all, why they went underwater? Because, you know, above the water there are a lot of distractions. So therefore underwater they went to perform like that. And we know that even two people come together, even to, you know, every individual, it is said that not even two grains of sand are identical. So naturally, everyone is different. So the way people think, their experience in their own life, their convictions, their realizations, all are different, you know. So when two people come together, one says, no, you should chant like this. Other person says, no, you should chant like this. Somebody says, this technique works, and if you do this, certainly your heart will be purified. Other person says, no, this technique works. So, both are true. For him, that is true. For him, this is true. That is, you know, like that. Of course, it should match Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. That is more important. Then, that is true. Like that. Because, you know, Krishna consciousness is not a very stereotype thing. Yesterday only I was reading Sudama's pastime. They are a beautiful, you know, discussion Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he mentions in Srimad Bhagavatam. So he's telling that when Sudama, he approached the Lord, and then he stayed with him, and while Sudama was going, so when Lord saw him, he just thought that, array, my devotees, when they are practicing spiritual life, You know, they are never bereft of anything. And there the shloka comes that annayas chintayanto mam ye jana paripasade tesham nitya bhuktanam yogakshema vahamyaham. So even at least they should not be so poverty stricken that, you know, their clothes are tattered and they don't have one proper meal. At least that much it should not be. Krishna offers that protection like that. So Krishna is telling, how come when I take care of my devotees, this devotee remained unattended? This question came in the mind of Krishna like that. And immediately Krishna reconciled, and he immediately, this translation comes. Then he says, now, means when he was taking the second morsel, no, he said, now I will give him such riches that even the immortal demigods will not have that. So Lord, within his heart, he took this decision. So there, then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he said, how is it possible that, you know, the Lord was not able to give his attention to this Sudama and he was in poverty? How has it happened? So there Sridhar Swami below, he writes and he says that actually it's not like that. How can Lord be inattentive to his devotee? You know, he said there are two types of devotees. One devotee is naturally averse to sense gratification. He doesn't want at all sense gratification. So these are one type of devotees. And he said there are another type of devotees who are indifferent to sense gratification or material facilities, we can say, rather than, you know, the word sense gratification. One devotee is completely averse to material facilities, and another type of devotees are there who are indifferent to material facilities. So there Sridhar Swami gives the example. He said just like Jad Bharat, he was averse to material facility, and Lord, respecting his desire, he didn't give him material facility and kept him in abject poverty. And another type of devotee, Sridhar Swami says, is like Prahlad Maharaj. He was indifferent to material facility. So Lord gave him all the material facilities by which he can propagate Krishna consciousness to everyone like that. So there, then Sridhar Swami explains that before this incident occurred, Sudama was first type of devotee, that he was averse to material facility. But now, having compassion on his wife, who really wanted some material facility, of course she also wanted it to serve Sudama better. So it was like, you know, transcendental reciprocation that way. So having compassion on her, he decided to have some material facility. And now he became the second type of devotee. Therefore Krishna benedicted him with all the material facility. So I mean to say, I was just thinking about it, that, you know, these are two different types of devotees. So there is a difference in variety. There is a variety. It's not that there is a one type of devotee only. So different types of devotees are there, they think in different way. So Prachetas, when they all are there and they are coming together and practicing, we don't hear that, you know, somebody had to come to sort out the matters. Means they really were working in that cooperation, and we saw that afterwards Lord Shiva became pleased, and Lord Vishnu became pleased. They got the devotional service, they got the material facilities, all these things. Of course, a devotee doesn't cooperate too much to get material facilities. That is not his aspiration. His aspiration is simply by cooperation, the Lord and Prabhupada will be pleased. Therefore, I want to cooperate and the mission will progress. That's what his desire is. So here we see very beautifully, here this question is asked to, here Vidura is there. Vidura is telling about this, or is asking this question to Maitreya, that what benefits they get, and then we see how their practice becomes a wonderful example for us like that. So we'll stop here. Grantar Srimad Bhagavatam Ki. If you have some comments, we have 5 minutes. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji. That was very nice class.
Thank you very much.
One thing you said just towards the beginning, not at the main part of your class, that was intriguing to me, I'd like you to elaborate a bit more about it. I believe someplace Srila Prabhupada had said that the demigods, or at least some demigods, they give material facilities to people in this world in order to so that they become frustrated, ultimately become frustrated, and then will take up service, take up renunciation. But you mentioned that you mentioned the aspect of how they want followers, and they give out of reciprocation for someone becoming a follower, they give material facilities. So maybe you can tie these two together and see how they relate?
Actually, I was just taking from this Prahlad Maharaj section, where Lord asked Prahlad Maharaj, asked for some material benefits. And then he says, "My dear Lord, I am not like such a master, or I am not like such a servant, where I want some material benefit. And you are not a master who maintains the follower for just some material benefits." So there, this discussion comes that, like a demigod worshippers, they want some things from demigods. And same way, demigods reciprocate, because they want these followers like that. So from there, I was taking this point and I was elaborating. Of course, there are many demigods who are pure devotees also, and they give. And another way, I heard the example, like a difference between demigod worshippers and Lord's worshippers, that demigods give what we want, and Lord, He gives what we need. If something undesirable we ask, then Lord will not give it. But demigods, the example was like just like a shopkeeper. When we go to him and we give some money and then we ask for some chocolate, whether good for us or not, we did the things, means they are obliged to give the benedictions, and they will give it. So from there I was deriving this understanding. You want to clarify it?
Well, are all demigods devotees of Krishna?
All demigods are devotees, but not pure devotees.
Okay. So
karma mishrit bhakta, many are.
So it's the ones that are pure devotees are in one way, and the ones who are not pure devotees are thinking of getting followers, or are they both there and present in all the demigods, both of these feelings?
At least one thing which I can say based on my understanding is that they are obliged to give the benedictions when they are worshipped by their followers. Certainly when we call it pure devotees, demigod, they actually doesn't want any follower or something. They just simply want that we are the instrument in the Lord's administration, we are placed here and we should perform our service like that. So that is regarding the demigods who are pure like that. Another aspect which I heard is that demigods are obliged. If some worshipper, he worships them, then they have to give the benediction, whether it may be good or bad for them, like that. So that's what my understanding is. Like we see Indra and all, when they see that somebody is performing some austerities to take that position, immediately, they do something. So some of these points from there, I was at least deriving some conclusion, if you can. Okay, so we'll stop here. Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bhagavatam.